You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast where finally it has happened to me.
Oh,
right,
God.
In front of my face, and I just cannot hide it.
That song, what song, what does that remind you of?
What does it remind me of?
Yeah, like what
other TV than that song?
No, what TV show, movie, that song.
Oh.
It's a gay staple.
What song? What is it supposed to remind me of? I feel like you're fishing for something and
no,
I'm failing.
No, the L word. It plays during the first time Dana and Alice have sex. That's an L word trivia question.
Yes, you're so right. I was not going in that direction at all.
No. It's not like, yeah, that's not really what we're talking about. It is spelled finally, like F-I-N-E hyphen ally. Fine ally. Finally. Exactly.
It's working for me.
Today,
listen.
We are talking about allies.
Wait, we haven't even done our whole thing.
Oh, I forgot.
From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're happy to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This Week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We are so excited because our trip to Croatia is coming up so soon. It's going to be coming up in September, and we only have 3 spots left. 15 of you have signed up. It is going to be a freaking party, Lee. That is a huge number of people.
I know. I'm excited.
So if you want to join in on the fun, we only have 3 spots left, and July 23rd is the final day you can sign up. So you can do that at bit.ly/lesdocroatia.
As a reminder, we have been recording special bonus episodes for our Patreon supporters all through season 6, and our last one is coming out today along with our season 6 finale. So if you want to catch this episode on life partners or any of the other bonus episodes, there are 11 of them from this season. You can catch all those by joining our Patreon at bit.ly/lespatreon.
Also, a great way to keep up with us on our off season, because it's going to be our last episode. So if you want to hear more episodes, join our Patreon in the Greater Les universe and also my own universe. I just got back from Bonnaroo, but this is also, I feel like, a super cool thing for the queer community. I was sitting at the festival and I was like, this festival is super gay. And then I just looked it up because I was just like, I saw Girl in Red. I saw Muna. I know Paramore is not like technically queer, but Hayley Williams came out in a shirt that was like, yes, gays, no Contras. And she's the shit. But there were 16 queer artists on the lineup, which is like a significant amount compared to previous years. I'm sure there's more that like weren't even listed on this thing, but there were so many queer artists on that lineup. So I was feeling it. Also, Gioli and Asia So I saw them perform, and me and Jana saw them, and we were like, wait, these people are fucking awesome. And we were like, oh, it's like a women DJ duo. Cool, cool, cool. Then I look it up after. Apparently, they're together.
Nice.
They are lesbians together. And they're sick. So lots of cool artists. And of course, the best ones are queer.
Hot stuff. Speaking of hot stuff, there was an Actors on Actors with some of our faves and yours, Melanie Lynskey and Natasha Lyonne, coming back together to discuss the groundbreaking, the one, the only, But I'm a Cheerleader.
Yes.
I just, listen, I love them. I love getting new photo shoots of them together.
Also, I agree, but didn't they say that they're never going to play gay again or something?
Okay, I'm going to talk about it. I need to talk about how they both look like queer icons in that photo shoot.
Because
like,
they are.
Yes, and so that's the thing is I do think that there was a point during their like, you know, interviewing each other where they were saying, and I get it. I get that straight actors feel like this is the thing that you have to say now where you're like, I don't want to take opportunities away from queer actors. And like, I'm not going to take queer roles away that like they should go to queer people and I don't need to play. But like, no, we want you to.
Also, Melanie Lynskey is not straight.
She's not 100% straight. I don't think she like fully.
I thought she is like self-identified as bisexual. No,
no, she self-identifies as like, I'm not fully straight, and I've made out with like women and girl, and like, you know, like made out with a bunch of like other girls when I was a girl, and like have made out with other people. But like, I don't think she assigns a label to herself that isn't necessarily straight. I just feel like she doesn't. Feel like she's a, I'm 100% straight and have never had any attraction to girls whatsoever. Yeah. But I don't feel like she, I don't think she self-identifies as like bisexual, at least not that I've seen necessarily. But even if she didn't, even if she did fully identify as straight, it's like you two, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. You don't need to stop doing anything. Admirable. I get it. Good. Like the intention is correct. Great. Yes, like we need to make opportunities for gay actors, but like also we love you.
I know. I just want to see Natasha Lyonne play gay all the time.
Yeah, yes.
Like, yeah, we need it. Also, like Kate Blanchett, don't stop playing gay. Like we can't have this.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, and it's I think the thing is it's such a delicate line to walk, and I understand where they're coming from and I get it. But I also feel like the queer community needs to very vocally be like, you are allowed to still play gay. This is not what we're saying. Like the point of saying, hey, there are gay actors who don't get opportunities and should have access to those opportunities. And it's nice to have authentic representation sometimes when gay stories are being told by gay actors. And there are certain stories where it's like there's something that makes that like can go deeper sometimes when you have gay stories being told by gay actors. Like that doesn't mean that you have to stop and can't play gay characters. Please play gay characters, please.
We need
please.
It.
We beg of you. Who do we write to? We'll throw money at you to make this happen. Please.
Yeah, maybe don't. We just like stop. We put like an approved list together to send to Hollywood.
Yeah. Can
or we're
do
like,
that?
Yes, not you, but you. That's okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Kate Winslet.
Definitely not you.
Sorry, Kate Winslet. Melanie Lynskey, yes, please.
Yes. I love it. Also in the Greater Lesbian Universe, there are two new lesbian bars in LA. So lesbian bars are popping up all over the place. Like, keep bringing new lesbian bars into this universe, people. Ruby Fruit and Honey. So if you're in LA, go support them.
In also the Greater Les Universe, we want to let you know, some of you may know someone, just a little voice actor by the name of Valerie Rose Lohman. You may have heard of them. They've, you know, done The Flame with us. They're doing Journey to the Heart with us. They've got a BAFTA nomination and also a hot new summer jam out. So if you want to go check out all of Valerie's music is under VRL. That's their sort of solo artist name branding. So if you look up VRL, you can find their new song. It's called Sandcastles. And it's great, good, fun summer bop. Beach time jam. Get it.
Let's hang
get
out
it rolling. Let's hang out approved. Check it out.
That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you episode 22, our finale of season 6. And it's called Fine Ally. Finally? Do you want to explain it?
Yeah, yeah. So it's spelled F-I-N-E hyphen A-L-L-Y, like Fine Ally, or Finally, it has happened to me right in front of my face. And I, should I keep going?
No, no, it's okay. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
And I just cannot hide it.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Nailed it.
Yes. So we are talking about allies today. And it felt like a really good way to sort of button up our season 6. Just because I don't know about you, Lee, but Pride has been a little tough for me this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just compared to other prides, you know?
It's this year's rough and weird in a lot of ways, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like recently with the Femmes, we performed at the JP Baptist Church in Jamaica Plain. And we performed there for like a celebration. But it was a celebration because people had written homophobic slurs all over the church. And it just feels like this year in particular, it's just heavy, you know, especially like in Jamaica Plain, which is supposed to be a very like safe haven for queer people. So I don't know. I was happy because I felt like we were celebrating and we were saying like, fuck you, homophobes. But I don't know. It feels tinged with a bit of heaviness, you know?
Yeah, I do know. There's a lot going on right now. There's a lot we wanted to talk about in terms of just like, yeah, what this year's Pride, it's been a mixed bag, I think, seems like a pretty common take this year. And it felt timely because some of you may have seen, I mean, it's obviously it's like just all coming out on social media as we're recording this episode. But I think for most of the people listening to this, this will all have happened like a week or two ago. But there are these really nice statements that both came out recently, one from Tyler James Williams, who plays Gregory on Abbott Elementary, who I adore because you know what else makes me laugh, Ellie, is you know when we were just reading that Twitter comment that someone left us where they were like, wow, like the things about someone's height that like you can't tell from a podcast is like, even with video evidence, sometimes you can never tell. Because do you know how tall Tyler James Williams is?
Is he small or tall?
He's very small.
Well, it's also funny because he's probably next to someone who's even smaller. Like,
he's next to Quinta Brunson, who's so small.
Yeah.
She's so small. But it's just when you see him on the show, he looks very tall.
Tall.
And he is not a very tall guy.
How tall is he?
He is 5'8.5".
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's, like,
I mean, I'm taller.
Yes. Like, we stan a short king who is made to appear very tall on his TV show, and I love that. And I think it's just because he's standing next to Quinta, who is very, very small.
Very, very small.
Because she is also, I mean, I think if he is shorter than you, I think Quinta Brunson is like 3 inches shorter than I am. Like, very small person. So, anyways, love this. Not the point of what we're talking about, how tall he is. He is a king in our eyes because he came out with this great statement this week. A lot of people had been, you know, watching him give interviews or watching him on red carpet things and posting a lot about like, oh, is he giving off like queer vibes? Does he read gay? Like all this stuff. Is he secretly gay? And he came out with what I think is actually like probably the best statement I've ever seen in response to queer rumors about a person. So do you want to read his response to that?
Yes, let me pull it up. All right, so his response was, usually I wouldn't address stuff like this, but I feel like it as a conversation is bigger than me. I'm not gay, but I think the culture is trying to find, in quotation marks, some kind of hidden trait or behavior that a closeted person let slip, quote unquote, is very dangerous. Overanalyzing someone's behavior in an attempt to catch them directly contributes to the anxiety a lot of queer and queer questioning people feel when they fear living in their truth. It makes the most pedestrian of conversations and interactions and spaces feel less safe for our gay brothers and sisters and those who may be questioning. It also reinforces an archetype many straight men have to live under that is oftentimes unrealistic, less free, and limits individual expression. I've been very clear about the intentionality I try to put into using my platform to push back against those archetypes every chance that I get. Being straight doesn't look one way. Being gay doesn't look one way. And what may seem like harmless fun and conversation may actually be sending a dangerous message to those struggling with real issues. I refuse to inadvertently contribute to that message. Happy Pride to all of my queer and questioning brothers, sisters, and individuals. I pray that you feel seen in ways that make you feel safe in the celebration that is this month. As an ally, I continue to be committed to assisting in that where I can and helping to cultivate a future where we are all accepted and given permission to be ourselves.
Just like...
beautiful.
Snaps, man. Snaps.
Also, Lee,
to
I'm
you.
Like, is he coming for us?
Maybe. He might be.
I'm like, so
we're a little bit called out by this excellent ally response.
Yeah. Like, how to be a good ally. Don't. Shh. Don't do should have been gay. No, I'm just kidding. At least we should have been. No, we're not should have been gay.
Talk about
real people.
It.
I know it's a joke.
We talk about it the same way.
Yeah,
of like, there. Sure, there are times where you can have your fun, and then there's also times where it's like, hey, let's not push past the boundaries and weird parasocialness of celebrity life. Fine.
Yes.
I just think, listen, that is one of the best statements that I think I've ever read about something like this, right? Like,
I mean,
it's
he hits
just
a lot of great points of, like, number one, being gay doesn't mean you, like, is not this one specific box that you think it is.
Right.
Being straight is not this one specific box that you think it is. So, like, no one, first of all, no one can tell someone else they're gay by their mannerisms, by the way they dress. Like, none of that. Nothing besides someone telling you they're gay means they're gay. Like, that is a very important point.
It's a very important point, and I think the reason that I loved it is then I think the day after that he released that statement, another statement came out by his brother, Tyrell Jackson Williams, and he wrote this great Twitter thread all about his brother's post. And I'm going to read that because they're both important and we want to talk about both. And we're sort of using them as the framework of our conversation today. So here is Tyrell Jackson Williams' statement in response to the comment that Ellie just read. So he said, I love seeing people realize the caliber of person my older brother is. He's always been like this. He's genuinely one of my favorite people. The way he handled my and our younger brother's coming out should be studied. He completely deconstructed his views on masculinity and made sure to build spaces for us to be comfortable and seen until we were ready to tell our friends and family. He read, recommended, and then discussed Bell Hooks's We Real Cool and The Will to Change with us, listened to our problems, gave advice when he had it, and was honest and empathetic when he didn't. We all rebuilt our definition of manhood together, brick by brick, and it was not easy work, but we weren't doing it alone. That is gender-affirming care, someone allowing you space to not only express but discover yourself, who supports that discovery without making it all about themselves or the ideologies of people who never mattered in the first place. Helping you find and access resources, then stepping back to let you engage with them however you need to, because your identity is your business. One of the many joys of queerness that isn't talked about nearly enough is the act of complete reconstruction of one's ego. What you are is not what you've been conditioned to believe. So you get to create yourself in your own image, outside any arbitrary social constructs or expectations, to not just think outside the box, but to discover the great deception of our patriarchal society. There never was a box to begin with. We taught each other just how big the world can be when you decide for yourself who and what you are, what is authentic to you. That is how you be a fucking ally. So I want to give Ty his flowers this Pride Month, a true representation of healthy masculinity and effective allyship. Give him all of the awards forever. And I just, exactly, like, clap, clap, absolutely. Because also, what a great fucking statement. Just like, what a very, like, just beautifully phrased sentiment. Like, what a family who knows how to, like, speak from their hearts and, like, express themselves. I'm just like, can you write books? Like, both of you? It's just great. And I love the idea of, like, calling out what it looks like to be a good ally. Because as much as we talk about, like, queer representation and the importance of queer representation and, like, why does it matter? And what do you learn from seeing yourself represented is, like, we need representations of good allies. Like, what does it look like to be a good ally? What does it mean to be a good ally? And I feel like every pride we get both some examples that we can find of what it looks like to be a good ally and also some examples of what it doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough too to be like, okay, so we're talking about allies, like well-meaning people who might not do the right allyship thing, right? Like, because not like you are not even trying. You absolutely hate us and like you're not even trying to be an ally, right? We're talking more about like the like, okay, what are like the things that like people try to be an ally, but it's like,
yes,
we don't want you to do that. That's not actually helpful.
Well, yeah. And I think pride, like something that comes up every pride, right, is like we talk a lot and we hear a lot within the community about, everyone knows, man, like you start rolling up to June and everyone's like, great, who's gonna like rainbow wash their logo and do nothing else, right? Like, who's
yep.
going to put a little rainbow pizzazz on their social media and continue to do harmful things to the community?
Yep.
Who's going to like reach out to get a queer person to be their spokesperson for the month and pay them a quarter of what they pay everyone else all year round? Like, who, you know,
yep.
all of these same kinds of things. And it's like, sure, like that's focusing on like the corporate side of things. But I think that you see it on an individual level as
well.
Oh, you
see it.
Right.
Like, even if you just think about like someone's social media account.
Yes.
Right. We're like, they're like, happy pride, everyone. And you're like, mm-hmm. you didn't give a shit about me last month. You did not care.
Right. Well, or the people who are like, here are photos of me, an ally, at my pride parade, and I'm having the time of my life. And you're like, how are you showing up for the queer people in your life?
Yes.
Right? Like, so that's what I think we wanted to talk about.
And the queer people at the pride parade are taking care of you while you
right,
are throwing
right, right,
up, right. and you ruined their pride, actually.
All the straight people who show up at, like, gay bars during pride and are like, woo, pride! And you're like, go away.
Yeah.
You are here, which means a queer person cannot be in this bar, right? Like, so,
that's so true. They are physically like, imagine, like, if there's anyone straight in the cubbyhole, like, that's actually a hate crime, because you can probably fit 100 people in the cubbyhole. So, like, you're fucked if you are in the cubbyhole right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what I think we wanted to talk about. This is like such a long intro to just what
sorry,
our topic
sorry, sorry,
even
but
is today.
I'm already on. I'm already
no,
on
right. but I but it because I think it's so real and I think it resonates so strongly. And I loved these two statements, because I loved like when Tyler's statement came out, right, and everyone read it and was just like, oh my god, amazing, like, incredible statement, how great, like, he totally gets it. And to then have his brother like follow up on that and be like, you all don't even know how great he is, I'm just like, that's a plus.
That's allyship.
Like,
yeah,
that's allyship. And like, that's, I think, a great prompting to talk a little bit more about like, what does it look like, Ellie, to be a good ally, and what does it look like when people aren't? And like, outside of the few examples
well,
we already just like
yeah,
immediately.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that really stood out about Tyrell's statement was the part where he said that his brother didn't center himself, right? And I feel like that's like the easiest way to be an ally, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
Human beings constantly center themselves. So whenever you are doing something for pride, if you take a look at yourself and you're like, am I making this about me? You're probably not being a good ally, right? Like, or I even think about like smaller things. When he was like, okay, when I came out, my brother didn't make it about him. How many people listening right now have a friend, even people who are like, even your parents, like family members? And like, I'm going to say, like, there, you can not be a good ally and like graduate into a good ally. Do you know what I mean? Just because you did one thing
yeah.
that was maybe not the best, like, you can learn, you can grow. But like, how many of you out there have had someone, you came out to them and they were like, so you think I'm hot? And you're like, what the actual hell? Like, that
yeah.
is not a helpful, that is the opposite of allyship, to be like, oh, so you're gay, so do you think, are you attracted to me?
Right.
That's like the definition of centering yourself.
Or even like the most common response that like everyone thinks is helpful, and like there doesn't seem to be a way to convince straight people that you're like, this is not a useful response, is the like, oh, I
knew
already knew that.
Yeah.
And you're like, please don't make this about you. Like, actually, this is not, what's not important right now is how perceptive you felt. Like,
I mean, and that's honestly, considering the conversation we're having about these two things, right? That is, people feeling like they perceive someone else's sexuality and wanting to be like, I was right.
Right.
Which is also right. So funny because, to be fair, I have that. I really pride myself on my gaydar. So I'm like, all right, Ellie, this episode is about you being a better ally to other queer people also. So also I would like to say that being queer does not automatically mean you're a good ally to other queer people either. So this episode actually is not only for straight people.
And it's also, I mean, to be fair, like some of these, they're like, they can be small on the grand scheme of things.
Some of them are more microaggression-y, but like microaggressions add up. And also just like, I mean, I think about thinking about that too. It's like, okay, so someone says to you, oh, I've known all along. I mean, if anyone has been listening since the first episode, my mom's got to tell Trish, right? Like, oh, I came out to my mom and she's like, oh, my friend Trish has been telling me you're gay for like however many years, right?
Right.
Is not really the, like, it's comical, but it's not right. really the response that I want when I personally was like, okay, well, I haven't known. Like, I had a hard time with this.
Yeah.
And I would like some support here, not like, oh, hilarious. I was right.
And we can forgive stuff because
my mother
we know your mom
is a great
and we
ally.
Love your mom. And you your mom's I mean. A great ally. Exactly.
She's very it's supportive like of her queer daughter. It's comical. But it yes. is like certain things that you're like, oh, some of them are right. They're facepalm smiling like, okay. And then there's yeah. like egregious. But even still, it's important to talk about. I'm like, mom, I just want you to say I love, like, do you love still love me? And she's like, Trish.
Trish is gonna get such a kick out of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, but because there's something to be said for it's like, it's not like doing some of these small things makes you a bad person. It's not about being a bad person. It's just about when you have someone call out the response that like queer people should be able to hope for, you know, of someone mm-hmm. being like, oh my God, this you're on a journey and the best thing I can do is to help you, walk beside you, be there when you need me, like help you focus on you.
Yeah.
It's just like what an amazing way to react, you know?
Exactly. And, like, and to be like, let's reconstruct what manhood is. Like that's what he said, right? Like let's reconstruct
yeah.
like what our preconceived notions are. That really struck with me too, of like we talk about like the gay puberty kind of thing, right? And it's like to be a good ally is to like let somebody else change.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know what I mean? Like it's like, yes, you're still the same person, but there's going to be a lot of growth that happens in those first few years of being gay. And honestly, the first people grow all the time as just human beings, but it's like to be the kind of person that's like, whatever you're discovering about yourself, I'm excited for that discovery. Not like, yeah. I wish you were the same person you were last year. Like, I haven't really experienced that personally, but I can imagine that would be very harmful in so many ways. Yeah. Number one, in just like, okay, if someone really is like the common parent situation sometimes where they're like mourning their straight child or like mourning who they thought their kid was gender-wise, right? It's like, being an ally is like, even if you are doing that mourning, doing it in private.
Yeah.
Not sharing that with your child. Like,
yep.
Deal with that on your own. And do not put that on your child as they are exploring who they are as a person.
Right. They're dealing with other stuff. Like, that's on you time, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I think that gets at as well is that, and that I think like Tyrell's statement touches on as well, is like the willingness to grow and change yourself, right? So it's like, yes, obviously, like your kid comes out to you, you've had this whole picture in your head of what their life was going to be, and you don't know anything about gay people. And like, yeah, maybe you're having those moments, right? Where you're like, wow, this forces me to like mourn a vision that I had and like change my own views on stuff and like think about, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, okay, fine. But like, also, mm-hmm. also, that is part of being a good ally, you know? And it's like, there's something to be said for like, sometimes I feel like the smallest things that straight people can do as allies is to not only, like, what's the way I want to say this? You know, sometimes when, like, straight people are like, I'm, like, totally an ally, but then they don't know a single thing about queer culture. And I'm like, how could you be? Like, how could you be if you're not tuned in at all? Like, if
okay,
nothing
but
about...
I'm curiously, what to you is tuned into queer culture as, like, we are so tuned into queer culture? Like,
we are very tuned into queer culture, but I just
mean... What's
the,
like, minimum you would like from a straight person to understand about queer culture to feel like... I'm just curious.
There's no one answer to that. I think the answer to me is it depends on who the queer people in their lives are. But I think that what it means is, like, taking an interest in the things that are important to the queer people in their lives and how they relate to queer culture. So it's like, if your daughter comes out and is, like, super into women's soccer and you don't bother to learn anything about it, then, like, you're not being a great ally to your kid. If your best friend is gay and, like, all they want to talk about is The Ultimatum for 3 weeks and you can't even watch a trailer, then, like, are you a good are you a good
and
ally?
You haven't binged the entire,
like,
series. That's actually so
right,
fun.
No,
that's, like,
but
so
it's like,
funny
but
to
I,
me, but true. No, it's
here's the thing, is, like, I don't think straight people always understand how much of the straight zeitgeist we keep up with for them. Like,
well,
we know all of the stuff that is going on in straight culture because we have to, right? And because you can't exist in, like, your general day-to-day networking spaces, offices, whatever. Like, we all know what's kind of going on. But when you're saying, like, and I'm not saying every straight person has to be tuned in. I'm saying if you are a straight person who has queer people in your life that you love and care about and you want to tell yourself that you are an ally to them and there is stuff that matters to them, and you don't care about it at all, that feels suspicious to me when you say you're an ally. Like, realistically, like, let's talk about you and me, right? Like, I understand you and I are incredibly plugged into queer culture.
Yes.
I do not expect that every single one of my straight friends who calls themselves an ally is going to watch every fucking show I talk about, listen to every fucking musical artist that I'm into. Like, I don't expect that. But there's certain stuff where it's like, do I know, and does it still somehow matter to me which one of my friends bothered to listen to even an episode of The Flame?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, because that's a thing that we devoted a huge amount of our time and lives and energy and like, you know, like, that's a thing that I'm like, if you're a straight person and you have a queer friend who, like, did a thing that's a queer thing and you can't even bring yourself to, like, care enough to listen to it, is it the end of the world? No, of course it's not the end of the world. It just means
but
that when you're like,
yeah,
I'm such a good ally to you, I'd be well.
I find it interesting that you're talking about this because we are so focused on queer media.
Yes.
But on a larger scale, right? Of course, like, for us personally, like, we created this thing. Yeah, if, like, you donated to our campaign, like, that's, like, putting literal money into a queer project that's independent. But, like, even if it's not us, right, the reason half of our shows get canceled is because not enough people are watching them, right?
Yeah.
And if you know that your friend is queer and, like, how impactful it is to see themselves on screen, and you know that literally just putting your eyeballs onto a show like A League of Their Own means the world to that one person and also to the queer community. And it's so small. And the crazy thing is too, like, I mean, I think about this on, like, a smaller scale sometimes, like, same thing with, like, some of my shows or whatever. Like, my mom will say this and she'll be like, yeah, I always, like, tell people to come to your shows and, like, whatever. And they're like, oh, like, they're coming to support. And then they're like, oh, that was actually really good. My mom's like, yeah, I'm not telling you to support this thing just to support it. I actually think you would thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
And by you watching this thing that I love and that you also might love, you're getting an insight into the queer experience in general.
Yeah.
You'll understand it a bit more. And two, you're supporting something that really makes a huge difference in queer people's lives. And it's fun. It's not like something you have to, and maybe you don't want to do it as much because it doesn't serve you from a, like, I can pat myself on the back and say that I took a picture of this pride parade, or I donated to the human rights campaign.
I got to hashtag it, right.
Which also, and I put a home, like, oh, I have a human rights campaign bumper sticker. And to be fair, that is also very helpful. Thank you for donating to certain causes. But also maybe look up smaller queer organizations that might not be getting as much funding. Like, you know, there's like, so, I don't know.
I think the thing about it to me, because like, obviously I know, like, you and I tend to loop back to media a lot because I think it is a big part of our lives, right? And I get it, my point in bringing it up is not so much that I'm like, oh, if you're my friend and you didn't listen to my show, you're not an ally. Like, no, that's not the point. I'm using it as an example of like, I think the point is, if being an ally doesn't materially change your life in any way whatsoever, if you are not changing, if you are not growing, and if you are not open to changing and growing, you're probably not a great ally. And like, sometimes, yeah, maybe that just means like, maybe you're just donating, man. If you have cash and you want to throw cash at gay people, great,
we'll take it.
Ally, we love it. Like, we'll take it, please, so that we can all stop passing around the same tired $10 bill to each other. But also, I in a grander sense of that, like, exposing yourself to other things for the people that you care about will cause you to change. Like, it will make you change. And that's what I think, that's what I loved about Tyrell's statement, right? Is like, it's not just that he and their other younger brother came out and therefore they were going on a journey together of like, who am I? What does it mean to be me as a gay person? Like, how do I want to present myself to the world? Who am I now? Like, but the fact that realizing that them going on that journey for Tyler also meant that he was like, well, I'm going to do that with you. Like, maybe I'm not the same person I thought I was. And maybe some of the things about me have been fed to me by society as well. And maybe I'm not gay, but that doesn't mean that I can't reexamine what my masculinity looks like and what my relationship with you looks like and what me walking through the world looks like. And like, that's just like such a fucking beautiful thing to like see someone doing and have done for you. And like, yeah, that should be called out because realistically, like, that's incredible. And maybe every person isn't going to do that when they say they're an ally, but like, why not?
Why not?
Why the fuck not, man? Like, why the fuck not? Why shouldn't you? Right? Like, why shouldn't you realize that part, because we talk about this all the time. Like, one of the things we say all the time about, like, the things that we love about being gay, right? And it's like, because you exist outside of so much stuff. And there's such a gift in that, like, I know you and I see and appreciate and talk about all the time, because it's one of the reasons we fucking love being gay. And it's like, granted, part of me is like, yeah, and that's for the gays. But like, it's not. It's just that we tend to be the people who like take that option up for ourselves. Because
you're saying living outside of society's norms is just for the gays. But you're saying like, how about everyone just reexamine society's norms?
Right.
Like, you can queer up your life in a way.
What if being an ally meant
being queer? No, I'm just
re-examining. Well, no, but it's like, you know, listen, like I was seeing a lot of stuff about I've seen a lot of posts from people in the romance community, like romance writers this week, because they were like, hey, actually, it's really, really off-putting when people giving panels, giving like, you know, like talks, giving like running webinars, like that so many people use highly gendered language when they talk about romance books. And they're like, because queer romance writers exist.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and it's just like, I think there's just something about saying like, hey, if you actually just have like a smidge of awareness mm-hmm. of things outside of yourself, like it gives you this opportunity to allow for change in yourself. And that.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Change could suddenly manifest in like so many ways, right? Like,
this is such a fucked up This is so fucked up, but whatever. Not whatever. But I'm just thinking about this and like the shit that has been going on that I sort of talked about at the beginning of the episode. People are so resistant to change.
Yes.
Wildly so. That like the things you're talking about right now, I'm like, yes, let's go. But I'm thinking like legitimately people like talking about their pronouns in the workplace pisses people off because they're like, oh, I have to do something different than what I'm used to doing, right? Like even the small and those small changes, like we talked about, are what make a good ally.
Right.
Is someone who is willing to change. Because like to me, honestly, I feel like that like meme where like you can't even like your brain can't even comprehend something. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, how is it so difficult to do these things when like right. they actually are not difficult at all? They're very small things that make a huge impact. Like changing, but change is hard for people.
And even what you're saying, it's like, because to what we're getting at, right? Of like, if you know that it matters to use pronouns and you still don't do it,
I mean,
then like,
you're not an ally at all. You're the opposite of an ally.
Right. Like it's and the thing is it's like, and I know people who would consider themselves allies who still question like, oh, like, do you need to introduce yourself with your pronouns? Like when you meet, like if you're at a meeting, like if it doesn't come up, like if they didn't ask for it, like, and you're just like, this is, it's so small, but that's all right. It's like, it's just that the second you resist even the slightest change to your own life, you're just like, oh, okay. So you're not really in this thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like to queer people, I think that's how it reads right away is you're just like, oh, okay. So like,
so you want to label yourself as, you want to call yourself an ally, but. Well, and that's right.
You're the putting up a black square on your Instagram for Black Lives Matter type of ally, sure. Like, and because I think, you know, listen, I mean, we're talking about this in the context of queer people as well, but or in the context of queer people primarily. But I think we all know as well that this extends to like how white people like to claim that they are allies to people of color, black communities, like. Not always, you know?
Yes.
Sure.
I mean, that's a big part of it has to do with being uncomfortable. If you're not willing to be slightly uncomfortable to show a branch of support to another person, you're probably not putting yourself in an ally position, right?
Yeah.
The things that I can think of that are like the most comfortable or like checkbox easy is like somebody being like, yay, I went to Pride. Like, oh, so you drank all weekend and you partied to fun music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you had a really hard time doing that, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was really uncomfortable for you.
Right. If your idea of allyship looks just like a party.
Yes.
It's probably not really it. And exactly. Like, and I know, and listen, like you and I both, I'm sure we know people who are like that and like who we love and we know they love us and care about us, but it's like they're not doing anything, right?
Yeah.
It's like, and it's not like it doesn't automatically make you a terrible person. That's fine. It's just, it's like, it doesn't make you a real ally. It doesn't make you a great ally. It just makes you a person who doesn't hate gay people, which is like not the same thing.
Well, I feel like you can just call them, I would call them like supporters or something. Like,
yeah, sure.
Name. Like you can be supportive, right?
Yeah.
But like when you want to really go to like the ally, the like partner in,
you're like in favor of gay people existing. Great.
Yeah. Which is great.
Good
honestly.
For you.
Still at this point, I'll take it.
I will take it. But I think, but I feel like I enjoy the idea that the word ally can come with more expectation associated with it. And that's what I think we're building here is like, if we wanted to have that expectation, what should the expectation be? You know, because I think the expectation that
Tyrell,
you know,
put together is pretty,
yeah, like that's, man, that's a high bar. And I love the idea of saying like, hey, actually there's a lot of things in here that he did, and like some of them other people could, maybe everyone's not gonna meet all of that, okay?
Yeah.
But like, you know what, you should be trying.
Yes,
you should be trying,
especially
to
like, I think the other thing is just like, okay, yes, you should be trying, and you should be trying all the time, not just during Pride.
Yes.
And that's like also why I'm like, this is an important episode to do during Pride. Because honestly, probably a good amount of straight people are going to start listening to us during Pride. Hi, everyone. And and then they're going to be like, all right, that was enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's right. Like, I know. It's, can you imagine we get all these new listeners and this is the episode they tune into and we're all like, you all suck. And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm never listening to you again.
No, but no, I'm not saying you suck also, but I'm really saying like, think about why you only care about gay people for 4 weeks. Like, are you really caring about us for 365 days of the year? I don't know. Even think about it. Like, I have a hope that this will not be the case, but like the femmes right now, like super booked, so busy because we've branded ourselves as a gay band.
Yep.
And it's June, 2 gigs a week, like whatever. There's no reason that that band should not be booked 2-3 gigs a week every single week of the year.
Yeah.
Right? Like better than most bands in the area. And I am not trying to project this into the world, but I'm curious to see how busy the schedule is in the rest of the months of the year. Like we were very busy during March for Women's History Month, very busy during June for Pride. And it's like, okay, if you really want to support women and non-binary musicians, don't just hire them for your specialty events. Like same thing with diversity in general, right? Where it's like companies have like DEI policies that are like during Black History Month, they care about Black people. But are you paying them the same amount as their white counterparts?
Right.
Right? Like,
well, and that's like, that sort of loops back around to like the corporate side of all of this that we were talking about too, because it's like, I mean, listen, we all know the whole Target fucking debacle that's been going on. And it's like, even at a capitalistic corporate level, it's like, does everyone immediately go out and say like, oh, Target's like a homophobic corporation now? Like, no, I mean, I realistically I don't think Target's homophobic. I think Target was a bad ally. Like,
yeah,
that's what it looks like when you say, hey, you know what, we're gonna do this thing where we're gonna like find, because like I'll give them the credit for like going out and finding like small queer owned brands and like trying to give them space in their stores. Like, great, that was a great decision. But that's not a hard decision to make. The hard thing was when anything happened to take a stance to support that decision. And when you immediately cave and back down, it just...
It's a really bad look.
It's a really, really bad look. Because what that tells gay people is it's like, oh, I get it. Like, you support gay people as long as you are putting absolutely nothing on the line. Mm-hmm. And the second that you would have to, you don't actually support gay people. You only supported them when it was easy for you.
When it was easy for you and made you a lot of money.
Right, exactly. And so it's like, you know, listen, when you just really highlight that fact, like, I think that's why, you know, like, because it's not like I haven't had that conversation with straight people sometimes. Like, when you complain about some of the corporate rainbow washing tactics that they do, and they're like, oh, but like, isn't this a good thing? Like, isn't it good that corporations are like doing a whole Pride thing? And like, shouldn't you be excited that there's like, oh, they have rainbow shirts, isn't that great? Like a rainbow beer can, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And you're like,
no.
Also, yeah, they put a rainbow on my kombucha bottle. Like, go. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, listen, I think it's not like it's bad. We're never saying it's bad. What we're saying is like, that is not in and of itself a mark that a corporation is really lifting up and allying with queer communities.
Yes.
And because it usually isn't. And frequently they're the first to jettison those queer people when needed. You know? So it's like, that's what it tells us. It's like, it tells us that we're probably easily, you know, dispensable and frequently not paid nearly the going rate for anyone any other time of year, you know?
Yep.
So.
Yep, because we should just be happy to work.
Right, right,
for
right.
For the gay community.
For the gay community.
It is crazy. It is crazy.
For exposure, you know?
Oh my God, so true. But yeah, the Target thing's really rough because it is, you're right. Okay, so the second you need to put anything on the line, you won't. And Target has been like, I feel like Target's a big one, right? Like Target has been for years making the most money off of the gay community. Like Target Pride gear was like flying off the shelves. Most people were, and even before Target had the backlash, I also would personally be like, ugh, I actually would prefer that no corporation sold Pride gear. That's maybe a hot take, but you know what? At this point, I actually really
it's
don't.
It's not a hot take, man, because I think.
Because then again, you would be forced to buy from queer people.
Yes. Well, and it's not so much you'd be forced to buy it from queer people. The options would be supporting queer people, even though there would be an understanding of it's like, listen, I understand like most indie queer businesses cannot compete with Target in terms of the cheap output of of stuff. And so then it's like it puts people in, you know, like in tough situations of saying like, oh, do you support queer people at twice the cost or do you buy all the cheap shit from Target? And it's like, I understand, like I see why it's a, you know, like a hard take, because I do think like there's always the discussion of like, what do you do for people who can't afford the not mass produced, like cheap crap that you're gonna get at a place like Target, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, I get it, but I agree. I think that it's like, but if you also like saturate the market in cheap stuff, like yeah, then all you're doing is you're making it impossible for all the
queer, you know, vendors like, to compete.
Right. Like no one can compete with you. And that's why I think like that's why I did like what they were doing this year. Like I think it was great that they were like partnering with like smaller queer companies. But then, man, those queer companies just got the absolute like shit end of that deal when they were just like, nope, no one can. Nope, we're not carrying it anymore. We're not selling it anymore. Like, sorry, we're not filling all those orders. We're not buying all this stuff from you. We're not like putting you in our stores. We're not like even the stories that people were saying where they're like, even some of the stuff they still had on shelves, like if you tried to like go and buy it like at checkout, like you couldn't bring it up, you know?
They literally just took it off their inventory.
Yes.
Insane.
And it's like, that's wild. Like, that's a wild way to handle this. And like, that kind of just really shows where your, how far your intentions were willing to go and how far they weren't, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it wasn't, God, it was not a good look.
Not at all. And that, I mean, have they even apologized? Like, did they make any sort of statement? Like, I feel like I haven't seen shit.
I don't feel like I've seen a statement come out. I mean, if I did, it wasn't good enough that anyone wanted to reshare it.
Right?
Like, if you came out with a statement, man, I'll tell you what, if we didn't see it, the gays didn't care. No one cared about it.
God, sorry. That just like the corporation stuff really just gets to me. Maybe I'll cut this out of the episode, but like sometimes I'm just like, should we just have never assimilated?
Meaning what?
Like, should the, like, like, I feel like it's, like, gay marriage, like, all this other stuff. It's, like, all of this was, like, queer people wanting to be accepted and assimilate into heterosexual, like, mainstream culture. Should we just have, like, continued to be our own insular community and, like, not given a shit about being accepted?
Are you saying should we all form a commune in the hills, in nature somewhere?
Like that's, yes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. I really don't care if Target carries our Pride gear. Like, yeah. What I care about is that, like, I can live my life. Like, all my queer friends can live their lives. All of the queer community can just live their lives without people absolutely hating us and wanting to kill us.
Yeah.
That's what I would like.
Well, okay. Here's,
like, you
here's
know what,
I mean?
What I
would
I mean, say. I'm sorry to bring it to a dark place, but.
But here's how I think it ties directly into this conversation, Ellie. Is, like, I don't think the answer is, like, should we not have assimilated in any way, like, into society or whatever. I think the question is, for me, like, should we have not lowered our standards of what it looks like to show up for this community? Because I think we have done an awful lot of that, realistically. Because the truth is, like, back in the day, right? Like, I mean, let me see how I can, if I can phrase this in a way that makes sense. There are a lot of ways in which we understand that it is different and safer in a lot of ways to be queer today. And I'm not saying that as a blanket statement for everybody. I certainly understand what is happening with a lot of things in our country right now and a lot of the ways it is increasingly becoming very, very not safe.
That's where I'm saying in terms of like this, I'm like, it does feel much more dangerous now to be queer.
Well, it does. But now, at the same time, still not quite at the level that a lot of things have been in the past, and not for everybody in the queer community, right?
Yes.
Like, realistically, like, if you look at my life, like, my life could not have existed 30 years ago, right? Like,
yes.
Me being married and us having, like, a house and kids who are, like, you know, protected by, like, all sorts of laws. And, like, there's a lot of things that, like, I have that wouldn't have been possible a long time ago. And there's a lot of things about my life that would have been a lot more dangerous a long time ago, right?
Yes.
Being an ally then looked different.
Yes.
It just did, because you were aligning yourself with a different reality than a lot of us are now. And so I think the thing is that, like, as a lot of progress was made in certain areas, the reality of what it meant to put yourself up as an ally and what you were putting at stake by doing that has disappeared.
Yes, has become a lot less. So it's like, So we're asking for higher stakes from you as
yes,
an ally.
That's the point. And because the thing is that it's like, you know, listen, I think we've been in this lull for a little bit, where realistically, like, being an ally didn't have to mean that much, because you're just like, no, it's just being gay. Who even cares? And, like, I get it. But then also, like, when the tide starts turning again the way it has been lately, you're like, no, actually, like, yeah, fucking step up, man. So if you're calling yourself an ally and you're not noticing or doing anything about the, like, wildly growing Christo-fascist movement that is out there trying to, like, eradicate trans people in our country, you're not an ally anymore.
Yes.
You know, like, if it, and it's just, I mean, like, I know that it's so hard in this conversation because I feel like we're bouncing between, like, really tiny things and really big things.
Yeah.
And I get it, but I just think, like, all of them sort of have to do with this idea of, like, we've lowered our standards for allies, and I don't think we should.
No.
I don't think we should anymore. I don't think we should let people slide.
No, they have to be a lot higher now, because the stakes are a lot higher.
The stakes, like, are climbing fast,
really,
and I don't think allies are keeping up with
them.
And that's, again, like, that's not to say all allies. Like, I understand there are great allies out there, and that's what I think the conversation is about, is, like, recognizing and pointing it out that it's like, hey, actually, it means that. It looks like that. It doesn't look like posting your pride photos. It looks like that over there, you know? Like, because that's the reality of where we're starting to be again. And even because whether we're in danger or not, it still looks like more than just not caring that we're here. You know?
Yes.
Like, that's not it anymore. That's not being an ally. That's...
Well, I also think there's, like, another layer of this too before... Sorry, I know, like, we're diving deep, but, like what you were saying of, like, if you don't... If you're not keeping up, if you're also not keeping up, like, mentally, like, I also think, like, being an ally right now means you have to truly understand that it is getting scarier.
Yeah.
And not minimize that.
Hey, but you know what helps with that? Being tuned the fuck in.
In. Bringing it back. Being tuned in. But really, being tuned into the queer community and being like, not being like, but it's not really that bad, right? Like, if you say that to any members of the queer community right now, like, you are harmful. You are not an ally. You need to be understanding how actually scared people are. Like, not just, like, silly, gay, cute. Like, it is a more scary time right now. And, like, to be an ally, you have to, first of all, accept that, understand that, and then say, how can I show up? I think that's, like, wrapping it in a bow, I think, in a way. But that's what I would like to see in an ally.
Yeah. We've really...
I know.
We've gone in some circles. I think it's important, though. I think, I feel like it hadn't quite hit me. Like, the reason I think those posts were great is because I don't think it had quite concretely hit me, like, how much of when people call themselves an ally, like, how much lip service it was turning into, and, like, how dangerous that is to our entire community. You know, like, both on the individual scale, but also, like, at a macro level.
Yeah.
Like, it is actually a real issue, because the thing is like, if you can't expect anything of people individually, just as your friends, as your family, like, how can you expect it of them at a collective scale if they don't understand what it means, right?
Yes.
And that's what I think is becoming the dangerous thing, is that I think people think, like, oh, I have gay people in my life that I love is enough, and it's not.
It's not,
and it shouldn't be, even if it just means that, like, you have gay people that you love and that doesn't change anything in your life to love them, because it should.
Mm-hmm.
Because their life is not the same as it was before they came out, right?
Yes.
Like, they're now a different person, and you, as a result of loving that new person, should also have, like, grown and changed a little bit to make space for them. But if you can't make that space for that one person that you love and care about, like, how are you going to step up and protect all of the rest of us as well?
Yeah.
And how are you going to protect the people who really, really need it when they're not the people that you love and care about that you also wouldn't grow for, you know? So, like, I think there's, like, there's a real sentiment in here. And I think that, yeah, like, wrapping up Pride Month is a great time to reflect on that, because now it feels like we're heading out of the time where everyone wants to be, like,
where everyone wants to act like they're an ally. So it's like,
yeah, let's, okay, like, self stamp my little ally badge on myself, and then, like, okay, brush it off, like, June's done now. And you're like, no.
Yeah, you have to continue. And I'm, I'm just TMI, but I don't even care. Hello, listeners, I'm on my period. But I was feeling so emotional yesterday when I was singing at the church, and just, like, today talking about this, like, I don't know, just feels so much bigger than us, you know, like, and it just feels so much more important this year to really show up. So I hope that you do, if you're out there, even in the smallest ways, like we talked about, growing, changing for your friends, and just, like, yeah, ask the queer people in your life, like, hey, what can I do for you to help you feel seen, to help you feel a bit more safe? Like, what can I do for you today? What can I do for you in August? Like, set a reminder. Hey, reminder in my phone. It's not Pride Month anymore. Let me check on my queer friends again.
What trashy gay TV show you watch for us this month? That's what
exactly.
We are.
Can you watch A League of Their Own this month and next?
Please.
Oh, sorry for getting a little heavy on that one, but I'm feeling a bit heavy.
Hey, if we can't get heavy on our season finale, when can we, you know?
Heavy, baby. All right. I think we've extensively covered our thoughts on allyship. So are you ready? Let's go to our Q and Gay.
I'm ready. Hit me.
Q and Gay.
Here we go. Question number one. What response did you get when you came out? A, do you think I'm hot? B, I totally knew. C, I'm here for you. Or D, are you sure?
Boy, is it like all of the above?
God damn it, Jamie. That was the flame reference, right? That's how Jamie responded when Sam says, I'm gay.
I'm gay. Are you sure? It actually wasn't intended to be, but that's very funny that I did that. I think I've gotten all of the above. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say all of them more so than I've gotten I'm here for you, but all of the above.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. Question two, Ellie. How do you wish allies would show up? A, financially. B, growing themselves. C, tuning into queer things. Or D, asking you what you need.
I feel like D is like the nicest one in terms of just like everyone's different in terms of how they need you to show up. Right.
Yeah. Maybe someone needs money. Maybe someone needs you to watch A League of Their Own. Like,
yeah. So I feel like I would just feel like it's like, if you don't know what to do, ask. But if it's not the ask, if it's like, what would I prefer out of all these things personally? I'm going to say financially.
Yes. Please, straight people, give us your money.
But also, it's just like, I don't know. Like, that's like the biggest way that I think we struggle. So, like, if you can really show up with your dollars, it's very helpful. All right, Lee, question number three. How has this pride felt for you? A, celebratory. B, revolutionary. C, inspiring. Or D, community building?
I feel like I think community building is probably the best fit, I guess. I don't know. Like, I think what you said at the beginning really feels right, where it's like, this feels like it's been a mix.
I mean, what's the right, I was going to write like heavy or something. I don't know. What's the right, like, what's the right thing? What's the right word for a mix? Because for me, I feel like I said like revolutionary and like inspiring, because I do feel like there's a heaviness, but I'm also feeling like I want to focus on the fact that the communities coming together to say fuck you to homophobes.
Yeah, and that's why I think why like that's why I went with like the community building. I feel like there's a sense of like I feel like the community as a whole right now seems like we're going back a little bit more to the like grassrootsy, like we gotta start like setting up, you know,
yeah.
like for some stuff that's clearly coming our way soon. So that's I feel like that's why that seems like the best answer for me right now.
Yes, I agree. Of like shit is messed up, but like
yeah.
we are here to support each other.
Right.
That's what I've been feeling.
Yeah.
Like we are gonna stand strong together. So I
like it.
I agree.
Okay, question four. What corporation has been the biggest letdown as an ally out of A, Target, B, Old Navy, C, Raytheon, or D, AT&T?
Can you just tell me what each of these companies did as a letdown? Just
okay, sure, yes. Yeah. So, like, Target, obviously.
We know what,
We know what Target did. Old Navy, I think...
I put this one on just because they had the most ridiculous assless jean chaps. Come on, Old Navy.
Ridiculous. Raytheon, I think, like, does their whole, like rainbow logo every year, even though they are Raytheon, which just, like, feels very funny to me.
Yes.
AT&T similarly, like, launches, you know, like, little, like, pride campaigns every June and, like, puts out their little pride ads and whatever. But, like, they also donate millions and millions of dollars to, like, heavily conservative candidates and stuff like that.
Cool. We love to see it.
Yeah.
So like in as a contrast to Chick-fil-A, that's like, we're not really trying to be prideful. You know who we are. It's like the secret, right? Like they're like, look at a rainbow. But like secretly they suck. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
For me, I feel like it's got to be honestly Target. Like that just really rubbed me the wrong
just
way.
Just a mess.
Like if you're going to be... Just, like, stick to your guns. We knew you were not supportive of the queer community, right? Like, we knew you were underhandedly not really supporting us. But, yeah. Like, you showed your true colors, and that was rough. All right. Question number five. How have the allies in your life been? A, amazing. B, good. C, fine. Or D, non-existent?
Okay, here's why I'm torn on answering this question. I want to say that many of the people... who have been like the best allies over my life tend to eventually end up being some variety of queer themselves. So I'm going to say like maybe good. Like that lands me somewhere in the middle, right?
So you don't think you wouldn't consider people who are really good allies to you but then came out as queer. You're not putting them in the category of allies because
I feel like I guess I was interpreting the question as like straight allies. So like, yeah, I mean, I've had amazing allies. I think in terms of like just pure, like pure ally, like only allies.
Yeah, yeah. Who are not also a member of the queer community.
Yeah, because I think also like there are plenty of ways that like we ally with each other within the queer community for sure. Like, I just think that's not what we've been talking about.
That's not the question. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to say good, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll average it all out to good.
I will say probably good as well. Everyone has their ups and downs in terms of how well they support you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. What an episode. What a finale. Looking forward to coming back in season 7. Let us know what other topics you want us to cover. And remember, you can give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Let's Hang Out Pod.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 well, yeah.
We love hearing from all of you, and we love continuing to build this community, so we just want to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week, we want to shout out Anna, I'm probably saying it wrong. I'm just going to say it both ways so that one of them is probably right, who reached out to us on Twitter to ask us to cover I Can't Think Straight. And it is the reason we wanted to talk about it is it's kind of a funny story. It's not only on our list. We actually had already put it on our schedule. We were supposed to record it back. When was that? Season 4?
Yes. And somehow
something.
I think something new came out that we were like, oh shit, we have to do this.
Well, no. Oh my God. Do you not remember what it was?
Was it I'll Happiest Season? Because that's hilarious.
It was Happiest Season. Yes. So what ended up happening is we had this scheduled and we had everything booked, guest ready, all lined up to do it. And Happiest Season came out and last minute, the three of us, including the guest, we all pulled an audible and said, actually, we have to talk about Happiest Season. And so we sort of bumped it and we just hadn't moved it back up to the top of the list. So it's actually been on our list for a while and it's on the schedule. So we will be doing it at some point as a Les Essentials. Sometimes we just, you know, rearrange a little bit based on what's new and relevant. So that was just sort of the story there,
but
it did make us laugh
because
we were supposed to talk about it. We watched it. We took notes. We were all ready.
It's a great film. I really love it. It was one of my favorite movies in college. So we're definitely going to talk about it in next season. We got to prioritize it. We'd also like to shout out everyone who commented or liked all of our Queer Love Ultimatum posts because, yes, we're happy you're all there in the same space as us. Some of my favorites are, I'm now convinced everyone who went on the show was already broken up at the start because there's no way. No, thank you. I'll watch from afar.
Yeah.
Oh, God. There you go. Also, yeah, people are really going in. That blonde is an awful person. Like, your opinion is not the opinion. I'm like, damn.
People are coming
for you.
Popping off in the comments.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said that some of these relationships reminded them of their exes for sure. So sorry to hear that. Hope you're doing okay.
That's a giant yikes.
Yes.
Giant yikes.
Well, at least it's exes and not current partners.
Yeah.
So
you escaped. And as always, we have to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rose Nishino,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
A.D. Benitez,
and Fiona W.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Julia Gonzalez,
and Leah Henley. Thank you all so much to you and to all of our patrons. We could not keep doing this show without you. So thank you so much for helping us get to the end of another season. We can't wait for season 7 with you all.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure that you subscribe. That way you'll get new episodes as soon as they go up.
We also post videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
Les Hang Out is an independently produced show. It's hosted by us. Our audio production is done by Ellie. Our production assistant is Krista Murison. And various Twitter shenanigans and other graphics work is done by me.
If you want to support the podcast, you can rate and review us on wherever you listen to your podcast. It helps new people find the show and tells them, hey, you should listen. It's good. Hopefully that's what you write.
If you'd like to support us financially, you can join our Patreon and get access to our Discord chat, ad-free episodes, Les Essentials viewing parties, all sorts of good stuff, and our bonus Patreon episodes, of which our last one of the season also went up today. You can join at bit.ly/lespatreon.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, you can get that at bit.ly/lesshop. We have all kinds of gay designs. T-shirts, tanks, mugs, sweatshirts, whatever your heart desires. It is on that website at bit.ly/lesshop.
Remember, we also have a queer production company. We are making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings. You can find us everywhere at @dollarbeanprod.
Or at our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon. To help us finish Journey to the Heart. We are so close to finishing our recording sessions. The next step is to finish working on the music and actually get those fully edited episodes done and ready for your ears. So we are moving forward. It's exciting.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.